And you'll find our reading in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. And we read from verse 1 through to 12. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, forever, not being carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Ending there at verse 12, and may God indeed bless the reading of his word. I'd like you just to turn to the passage that we read tonight in Hebrews chapter 13. And the gospel that we preach and seek to defend is the gospel of God concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person of Christ is the central theme of the gospel. The writer to the Hebrews had been bringing Jesus Christ before this people who were Jews, who had been converted from Judaism to Christianity. They had heard the gospel and turned to the Lord, and they were finding it hard and difficult. They were finding opposition, and we find that Paul writes this letter to them to encourage them and to show them that Jesus Christ was superior to anything that they had before in Judaism. He points out that Christ is better than Judaism, better to have Christ and suffer and be despised than to have Judaism and religion and have it easy. The word better occurs a number of times throughout this book. So Jesus Christ is better than anything that we ever had when we were in the world or in religion. In this closing chapter, the writer is teaching us some tremendous truths about Christ. It's good in your Bible study to go through the different books and chapters and see how many things about Christ that you can find. And of course, it's not only a challenge to unbelievers, but surely it's a blessing to those of us who know the Lord to get the Lord Jesus into view and to be taken up with him. And we find, as we go down this chapter, that there's some lovely pictures of Christ in the chapter. Let me show you some of them tonight as we get down to our text. For example, in verse 5, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I'm sure everybody in this meeting tonight knows that text. And here we see the faithful Christ. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And the Lord is faithful to his word and to his promise. And we can bank on that tonight, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We see the faithful Christ. And in the next verse, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." And here we see the helping Christ. The helping Christ. "Yes, so that I will not fear what man will do unto me." And then in verse 8, we see the unchanging Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We may change, but he is the unchanging Christ. And then down in verse 11, "The bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." And he's going away back into the Old Testament to the offerings and sacrifices. And in the offerings and sacrifices, we see the typified Christ, because they all spoke of him. They all pointed ahead to the one who would come one day and fulfill all that they were presenting. And then in verse 12, it says, "Wherefore Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." We see there the saving Christ that brings Calvary before us. He was the fulfillment of verse 11. So what we have typified in verse 11, we see fulfilled in verse 12, the saving Christ. And we see the suffering Christ. It says that he suffered without the gate. And in verse 15, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name." And there we see the high priestly office of Christ. "Through him let us offer to God." He's our great high priest. Yes, and then in verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ." And there we see the living Christ. The living Christ. Yes, the brought from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. And there we see the shepherding Christ. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And in verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And there we see the glorified Christ. So there's quite a lot of pictures about the Lord. Great picture book here. And that's just a few verses of Hebrews chapter 13. I want to take tonight a few words just in verse 12 as our text. It says here, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood." And I want to take three words: his own blood. And that's the sacrificing Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's one of the fundamental doctrines of the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we preach the blood. And as we think of his own blood, we think about it and we come to this conclusion that his own blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary, we're reminded that it was precious blood. Precious blood. That's what the Bible says anyway. Peter says, not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So this word precious is a biblical term. It's a fundamental doctrine. It's precious blood. When something is precious, it's of great value. It's highly valued. Maybe some family heirloom, maybe something that was given to you by grandparents who's no longer here. I remember my grandmother had a white milk jug, and it had been handed down to her from her mother and from her mother, and she would let nobody near that white milk jug because it was valuable to her. Mightn't have been that much value if you'd have took it down to the auction room, but it was valuable to her because of who gave it to her. It was precious to her. You know, friends, Christ's blood is precious blood. Why is it precious blood? What makes it precious blood tonight? It's precious because it's sinless blood. He was the Son of God. He had no human father. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. In natural birth, the blood of the child is always the blood of the father, and that's how sin passes down from one generation to another. That's why from Adam we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Christ's blood, it didn't come from a human father. His blood was sinless blood. My dear friends, there was never blood like this before, and there'll never be blood like this again. And that's what makes it precious. Medical people can tell us so much about us by looking at our blood. They bring you to the doctor, to the hospital, and they take blood samples, and they take those blood samples away, and they put them under the microscope, and they take them down to the lab, and they examine them, and they can tell so many things by just looking at a little drop of blood that comes from our veins. And you know, the spiritual, looking at this from the spiritual angle, we can look at man's blood. And when we look at man's blood from the spiritual angle, we see sin. We see sin. But when we look at Christ's blood, we see that it's without sin. Because sin wasn't passed down to him. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And man's precious blood, because it's sinless blood. Nobody else had blood like this. And then it's precious because it was shed blood. Shed blood. God has made it clear from the very beginning that he required the shed blood of a sacrifice to make an atonement for sin. That's truth. It's right through the Bible, from the book of Genesis right to the book of Revelation. My dear friends, we see this in the goats of skin that God provided for Adam and Eve in the garden. They sinned. They tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. But God stripped the fig leaves away from them, and he provided for them coats of skin. And that meant that an animal had to die. An animal blood had to be shed for those coats of skin to be provided to cover their nakedness. And it was indicating that God required shed blood to make a covering for our sin. See this also in the offering of Abel. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground that was not acceptable to God, but Abel brought the blood of a lamb. And through his offering, he was made acceptable. When the high priest in Israel went into the Holy of Holies once a year. He went in on the great Day of Atonement to make an atonement for the people. And it says that he went in not without blood. If he had went into that curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, without blood, he would have been stricken dead by the judgment of God. He had to go with the shed blood of a sacrifice and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He could only go in through the shed blood. And you and I tonight who know the Lord, we can only enter into God's presence through the shed blood of the Savior. My dear friends, Christ's own blood, his own blood, was precious blood because it was shed blood. It was precious blood when it was shed on the cross at Calvary, and it flowed from his veins, and it was shed for sinners. It was shed for you and I. The hymn writer said, shed for sinners, shed for rebels. And bless God, it was shed for me. Shed blood of Christ is the central doctrine of the gospel. My God can pardon sin, but not without blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission, no pardon for sin. Man can be redeemed, but not without blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Men and women can be redeemed, but it's only through blood. My heaven can be gained, but not without blood. Peace can be enjoyed, but not without blood. He made peace through the blood of his cross. Justification can be experienced, but not without blood. We're justified not only by faith, that's the means of our justification, but we're justified by blood, that's the basis of our justification. And glorification can be ours, but not without blood. Salvation is offered to men and women, not only here, but throughout the world tonight, on the basis of the merits of the precious blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. When Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's rugged tree, he paid the ransom price for sinners like you and me. My dear friends, his own blood, it's precious blood because it's sinless blood, and it's shed blood, and it's satisfying blood. It satisfied every requirement of the law. It met every requirement of God. And Christ's blood did what the blood of many sacrifices could not do. My, it took away sin. We often sing that great hymn. Maybe I should have sung it tonight. Not all the blood of bulls on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Dear friends, the blood that was shed at Calvary was precious blood of the Son of God, and that blood saves us from hell. So it was his own blood, his precious blood. And his own blood is powerful blood. Sin makes us unclean. The Bible teaches us that we've sinned. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. The leper, when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they had to cover their upper lip and they had to go about and cry, unclean, unclean. They were taken outside into a camp for lepers. They were kept separate from anybody else, away from everybody else, lest they would contaminate them with their leprosy. And my dear friends, they were unclean. You might not think tonight of yourself as someone who's unclean. But in God's sight, that's exactly what we were all like. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all an unclean thing. We are all an unclean thing. And all our righteousness in God's sight is as filthy rags. Tomorrow is washing day. Our clothes are washed. The things we wear, the things we use in the home, they're washed and cleansed because they're unclean. And you know, friends, our hearts needs to be cleansed from sin. People have tried all sorts of things to take away sin. Sometimes people get a little stain maybe that is caused by something, maybe beetroot or something, and they try different remedies to try to take away the stain. And people have tried so many things to try to take away sin. Some have tried religion, others have tried so many other things, but we find that the only thing that can take away sin is the precious blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not some of our sins or the most of our sins, but all of our sins. His own blood has cleansing power. Praise God for the power tonight that's in the blood. His own blood has redeeming power. Men and women, my, were born in the kingdom of darkness, in the prison house of sin. We were captives in the prison house. We were chained by the habits of sin. But the Lord paid the ransom price with his own blood to bring us out of that prison house and to smash the fetters that held us captive. That word redeem means to buy back by payment of a price. And you know, when we come to the Lord and put our trust in him, we're redeemed. What are we redeemed by? By the precious blood of Jesus. His blood, his own blood has cleansing power. His own blood has redeeming power, and his own blood has justifying power. Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by his blood. The blood makes us righteous before God. Without shedding of the precious blood of Christ, there would be no salvation, no cleansing, no redemption, no justification, and no gospel to preach. Yes, his own blood is precious blood, and it's powerful blood. His own blood is protecting blood. It's protecting blood. My, when we put our faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, that blood saves us from the judgment of God against sin. That's how it was in Egypt, wasn't it? When God's judgment was about to fall upon the firstborn. And my, God's message through Moses was that every family should take a lamb and make sure that it's a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb, and keep it and make sure that it's perfect. And then after a few days, they were to kill the lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts and lintel of the door. And God's message was this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you, or I will hover over you. And the idea is that when the angel of death was passing through the land, that God went before that angel of death, and when he saw the blood, he put his covering wings around that home, and the firstborn in that home was protected by the shed blood on the doorposts of the door. And dear friends, that's where you and I need to be tonight. We need to be where the firstborn that was trusting in the blood in Egypt was, under the blood, depending on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. My, the blood of the Lamb saved them from perishing. It protected them from the wrath that was to come upon them. It sheltered them from God's judgment. And that's what his blood, his own blood, does for us tonight. It's precious blood and powerful blood and protecting blood. And finally tonight, dear friend, his own blood. His own blood is peace-giving blood. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, because of sin, we were at enmity with God. We are enemies with God. Ye being enemies, says Paul, have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. You might say to me, I was never an enemy of God. I was always brought up to fear God and to worship God and to read God's word. I was never an enemy of God. Well, I'm sorry, but you were. And if you're not saved tonight, you're still an enemy of God, because sin separates you from God, and God, my, hates sin. But you know, we can be reconciled to God. Reconciled is two being brought together. Those who were separated are brought together. There's a work of reconciliation. And because the Lord Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the price for sin, because the price for sin has been paid with his own blood, we can be reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Hey, friends, I trust we never take a doctrine or truth like this for granted, because our whole eternity depends on it. Yes, because of the preciousness and the powerfulness and the protection of Christ's blood, we can have peace with God. We can face tomorrow knowing that it is well with our soul. We can lay our head on the pillow knowing our sins are gone. The blood of Christ, his own blood, will save us from our sins. And when we get to glory, we'll praise God for the blood of the Lamb for all eternity. Friends, tonight, sins condemn and will damn, but the blood of Christ will cleanse and save. If you're not the Lord's tonight, may you take that step of faith and be washed in the blood. And if you are the Lord's tonight, may you continually remember and give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ that on the cross at Calvary so many years ago, that he shed his own blood for you and me.